We're still studying blood. I hope I can have a little more clarity than I had in the past. The whole of the teaching in the Bible is that the life is in the blood. The life is in the blood. When there's a mystery that happened with regard to the blood when there was a virgin birth, because the blood of God is what Mary produced in her womb, because the seed was from God. Now, if we can understand that, we can begin to understand this whole idea of Christ's taking on the form of the flesh. And his flesh was now different than yours and mine, because the blood is now the blood of God. Except when we die to self, then that mystery occurs in us, because the life of Christ becomes our only life when we have died to flesh. Every ancient tribe that I've looked into, and I looked into everyone I could know about, every tribe on earth had knew something about blood intuitively. That's even the reasons why they had human sacrifices, because they saw the mystery, but they didn't see that Christ was the one that was sacrificed. And all of the ancients, whether it's in Africa or India or anywhere, have a blood covenant, even if they're not believers. So after the covenant is described as a hasid, H-A-S-I-D in Hebrew, which means loving kindness. And God is saying, I now act before you as my own flesh, based on the blood of Christ in us. Now, all these covenants were finished by a meal. And at that meal, he essentially saying, as this bread is me, as this wine is me, so that's the mystery of the blood when we do the wine and the bread. We are confessing, even though we may not understand it at all, we are confessing that God is acting towards us as he would have acted and did act towards his own flesh, except we're not crucified, we're just dead. We don't have to go through the... And to understand that, at least to me, it was the most incredible peace I'd ever experienced. And it caused me to understand suffering. It caused me to understand the real mystery of the blood, because he's now acting towards me as he acted towards his own flesh. And the blood and the bread, the wine and the bread, blood and the flesh, are what we do at communion. We partake of that bread, which is his flesh, and we take of that wine, which is, in parable, his blood. So we live by alone, by his bread and his blood and his flesh. As this bread is me, as this wine is me, so it's now in you. All these religions that understood some part of the blood covenant, coupled with that was always a performance of things involved with it. In other words, they had to change their behavior in order to partake of this covenant. Well, if that's the case, then I'm left out. Because I can't meet anybody's standards, especially God's. And so if He is not my life, if there's still part of me here, then I won't be part of to this, because I mean I know myself, I know my evil, I know my life. But now it's no longer me. It's no longer me that lives, but Christ that liveth in me. But he can't live in you if you're alive. Does that communicate at all? And all these religions have a God which desires the highest and the best, the most beautiful, the most. As I said, that leaves me out. Anybody ever looked into Shinto? It's a Japanese religion. And there are, what they do is they have all kinds of noisemakers. They clap their hands in order to get his attention. I mean, not just clap, I mean, it's symbols. But they've got to get his attention.
Whose attention?
Huh?
Whose attention?
God's. Your idea of God. One of the most incredible things to me is how long it took Abraham to end up seeing the mystery. It took him 100 years. And as soon as he saw, then his name was changed from Abram to Abraham. Abraham. And it's the H-A is the breath of God. So if we were, I mean, we don't go through the name change anymore, but the same thing happens to us. This mystery of seeing that God is our only life in Christ, then that, what partakes of that is we have the breath of God or the Holy Spirit as our guide, as our everything. We no longer, and we live our lives differently. And God did all this because, and He put him to sleep and entered into the rest. And God Himself walked through those sacrifices. Let's look at something. Let's look at that place where He changed, God changed His name. It's Genesis something or other. Mm-hmm.
probably can't find it. Where's Pete when I need him? Well, I'll have to look for it because I can't find it.
It's Genesis 17:5.
Thank you. I'm sitting in Pete's chair, so you got it. Yeah, start in verse 1. When Abraham was 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my servant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Then Jacob, let's look at Jacob a minute. I used to know these things automatically, they don't happen in my mind. Chapter 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him till the break of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go, except thou bless me. Abraham said, I will not let you go. I mean, Jacob said, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. As a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Every time that I'm aware of before this, Jacob never used his name. Other people called him Jacob, but he always said he was son of. But here, when he finally admitted that he was, the word Jacob means the way of the snake. That's what it literal meaning. And so Jacob finally came to a point where he admitted to God or to the angel that he was the instead of Christ, and his name was changed. No more Jacob, but now Israel, she who sees God. With Isaac,
Well, we won't go there, but you've heard me talk about it many times. Isaac, so Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Abraham came to know God by experience or test, and it took 100 years. Fundamentally, what he said, if you look at the scriptures, from the beginning on, a lot of it you have to read the Talmud, but he pushed everything to the limits, no matter what he was doing, no matter what he was thinking. And finally, each of those steps that he took, he simply said and was honest with himself, this isn't fulfilling, I'm not going to do that. So then he did something else. And so finally, all the I can do something else were gone from him. With Isaac. So that what that the ancient rabbi said, this is the three graces to see God are revealed in Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Abraham, it's the rabbis called it learning. I call it, I don't want to do that anymore. And so by the time he got to the end of, well, I don't want to do that anymore, he was 100 years old. But fundamentally, each of these became poor in the idea of what the New Testament definition of poor is. They no longer got sustenance or satisfaction from what they were doing in the world. So Jacob, his was a struggle, a fight, because of it. He didn't want to admit that he was the instead of Christ. But that fight finally worked and he became Israel. With Isaac, when Abraham offered him up on the mount, he said, Abraham went up there with him alone, and then he's left there. Isaac didn't come down from that mountain. Abraham left with the two men, young men with him, which who were, anybody remember? Eliezer, who was his servant before from the very beginning, and Ishmael, who was the daughter of Abraham's messing around in the tent with the Egyptian princess. And he wanted to make both of those his heir, and God said no. And finally the heir became Isaac. And that was instant revelation. When he was offered, he saw his own death. But in each case, in order to see him, we have to come to the end of ourselves. And that's the mystery, really, of the blood. If I could think clearly, I could describe it much more. But so don't worry about whether or not you're not understanding something in any given minute. Because that when you understand it, you can't understand it as long as you're giving breath or giving importance to something in the world. But that doesn't mean you're lost. It just means you're going to wait a little bit until you come to the total end. Yeah. Amen? A little bit more understanding?
I don't know how to answer that.
Well, did anything I said make sense?
Yeah.
The
people that you say went up to the mount with him, that's not in the Bible. Is that in the Talmud?
It is in the Bible. They didn't go up to the mount. They stayed down below with Eliezer, the two young men.
But it just said two young men. It didn't name who they were.
But they were.
I mean, is that something that was in the Talmud?
Yeah, the Talmud is full of that. But one that were the each time he wanted to make, Abraham wanted to make first Eliezer and then Ishmael the heir. And each time God said no, and he finally was revealed in Isaac, because Isaac was changed. I mean, he was the instant revelation, because he suffered, he saw his death in the death of the ram. Okay? Amen? A little bit? All right, take it big guy.